Hope everybody had a wonderful day. So as we move along in Ketzer Mevarchim, we're dealing with the subjective and objective principles of brachos, as I've termed them. Of course, the subjective principle being hana'a, asur la'adam lehenos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, the need to give recognition to God before one benefits, and this could either be based on a kind of a logical extrapolation if the Torah said that you have to say thank you, so of course you have to say please. Could be based on a series of psukim that the Gemara brings, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Ve'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam Kan Lifnei Bracha Kan La'achar Bracha. Those are the objective elements in brachos, like we discussed yesterday, whether it's the Shivas Haminim, whether it's the specific order that the Torah puts them in, Eretz, Chita, Osara, Geffen, Tein, Avi, Ron, Eretz, Eshemen, Udivash, that second Eretz, connoting that those ones are even listed before, after you get to Chita, all kinds of objective elements that may sometimes defy subjective ones. So one of the big points of discussion that we had all week was like, what about Bori Mine Basar, as was suggested last night, that people love to have meat, so maybe that should, be its own bracha. So that's where the subjective kind of gives way to the objective realm. So another basic principle in brachos that we'll encounter for the first time this evening, which also has to do with the balance between subjective and objective, has to do with the principle of ikar and tafel. Ikar meaning the main, and tafel meaning that which is secondary. So the best example in Hilchos Brachos when it comes to ikar and tafel is something that we know, even if we don't even think we know it. So if you're having a meal, and of course you have bread at the beginning of the meal, even if it's a multi-course meal, anything which is considered besocha suda, and the Bali Atosos think that really today everything is considered to be part of the broader suda, even if you have different courses, even that might even extend to dessert. And according to this opinion, the Rishonim, that making a bracha over bread, because you're koveya suuda al halachem, that's going to cover everything. Because lechem is the foundation of a person's material existence. Lo al halachem levado yechya ha'adam. We don't live on bread alone, but we do live on bread. Ki al kol motzah pi Hashem yechya ha'adam. So that's a great example of ikar and tafel. We already alluded to it last night a little bit in machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If we're already considering the idea of making one borei pri ha'etz, and we said, well, if we, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you have one of the Shiva Saminim there, so that objectively is considered the ikar, not whatever you prefer being considered the ikar. So now we're going to talk about some applications of this. So the Mishnah starts with a case that's understood by the Rishonim to really involve Shabbos and Yontif when a person is making Kiddush. So the Mishnah says the following: Virechal hayayin shelifnei hamazon patar et hayayin shelachar hamazon. So we all know about yayin lifnei hamazon, right? That sounds like Kiddush to us. But what's yayin shelachar hamazon? You're thinking, I don't remember making Kiddush again after the meal was over. And you'd be right about that. You shouldn't make Kiddush again. But it was their practice in the times of the Mishnah. They had these very fancy symposia-like meals. So they used to have wine and various desserts after the meal. So the yayin shelifnei hamazon not only covers the yayin within the meal, but this is something of a Kiddush. Patar es hayayin shelachar hamazon. Again, if you know that you're going to have it. But this, again, would apply on Shabbos and Yontif, where the Kiddush is a fundamental part of the meal. It may not apply in other cases. It may, in other cases, only apply to things that are besoch hasuda. Now we come to a very difficult word, which is parpera. Sometimes what's that? No, for sure not. We're just dealing with Shabbos and Yontif. Exactly right. So parperes, it could either mean appetizers, or it could mean, many of the Rishonim think that it means here, a kind of a mizonos product, not a full hamotzi lechem min haaretz, but something that's made of grains. So birichal ha-parperes, again, the idea of parperes being appetizers comes from the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, I should know, when we talk about tzkufos u'gematrios being parperos l'chachma, right? Something that hopes the whets a person's appetite for more Torah learning. Birichal ha-parperes shalifnei hamazon, so let's say it's again before the meal actually started, patras ha-parperes shalachra hamazon. Here, of course, we're talking about a situation where you one from, go from before the meal to the meal to right after the meal. We're not talking about a person makes hamotzi, in which case that would cover whatever it is anyway. So the parpera shalifnei hamazon, as long as you had it in mind, patar es parpera shalachar hamazon. Then the Mishnah says the following: Birechal hapas, if you make a bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz, patar es parperas. That will take care of the parperas, because again, Hamotzilecha min ha'aretz is the ultimate ikar, and it releases everything else. But al ha'papares, if a person would make, let's even assume that it's mizonos, right? That's not clear. Right? The Bar Tanura in his first opinion suggests maybe we're talking about things like eggs or fish, things that would even be a shakal. There'd be nothing to talk about. But if you made a bracha on papares, assuming that it was a mizonos, still lo patar es ha'pas. It doesn't have the ability to release the pas, because even if you say, I'm a parparis man, parparis is my middle name, there's nothing that I like more than parparis. For me, there's nothing more important in the world. It doesn't matter. Why? Because pas, bread, is considered fundamentally, objectively, ikar, relative to a parparis. Beishamai omrim, af lo ma'ase kedera. So Beishamai take the view, we don't rule this way, as usual. Beishamai take the view that it wouldn't release ma'ase kedera. What's ma'ase kedera? So it's often associated with daisa. Anybody have daisa? When I went to learn in Israel, they had said it's daisa. I said, what's that? It's like this oatmeal porridge-like dish that's also made of some grains. So we rule that indeed the parparis would be able to release the ma'ase kedera, and the ma'ase kedera should be able to release the parparis as well, because they're both within that same fundamental category, and you can't say one of them is more ikar than anything else. So again, this is a very fascinating area, and one of the distinguishing features of Birchos Hanen. And nobody ever thought to say, okay, well, you know, it's kind of the Sukkot holiday, so, you know, your Leishay Basukkah, I think that should cover your lulav also. Well, your lulav, you think the lulav is the ikar, ismachlam tnei Hashem ukecham shivas yamim? Say you're on the tilas lulav. That will take care of your Leishay Basukkah. Nobody ever thought to say that, right? Because when it comes to a mitzvah, despite the fact that the Rambam makes a very strong comparison, k'shem shemavarech al ayanoya, kach mevarech al kol mitzvah, mitzvah v'achar kach osin osa, each mitzvah requires its own bracha. But when it comes to eating, there's something fundamentally holistic, singular, about an act of eating, especially in the context of a meal. So that when a person is sitting at a meal eating, you know, there is a certain logic for the argument to be made that instead of looking at A, B, C, D, E, and F, you know, you ask a person what they're doing, they'll say, I'm eating a potato, I'm eating a carrot, I'm eating a tomato, I'm eating a lettuce, they would say, I'm eating a salad. There are certain things of groupings which are natural in the world of Birchos Hanen. And so therefore, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility from a logical standpoint to understand why the halacha acknowledges and recognizes the principles of Ikar and Tafel when it comes to Birchos Hanen. And you don't find analogs when it comes to Bircha Shevach V'Hodah. We don't find analogs when it comes to Bircha HaMitzvah generally, because we assume that each mitzvah, you know, we don't do mitzvahs chavilos. Each one sort of maintains its own fundamental integrity. Okay, so we'll hold it up there, and God willing, we'll pick it up starting up again on Sunday.